I did, but we got cut off before Dad replied. I'm not sure he heard me ask. Leon nodded. Okay, let's go. Peter hurried from the roof with Leon right behind him. Racing down one flight of dark stairs after another, it seemed they would never reach the first floor and the squad car. When they did burst into the lobby daylight, the stillness and silence stunned Peter. Glancing over his shoulder for any oncoming devils, he turned and rushed toward the exit. Suddenly, a car horn broke the silence of the empty building. Leon shook his head. If it were night, this would really be creepy. It's still creepy, Peter pointed down an empty corridor. This way. As they hurried, the blaring horn grew louder. The two officers pulled open a sliding door and rushed out. In the driver's seat of a nearby car, a woman rocked back and forth as she pounded the steering wheel. Peter jogged over to the vehicle just outside of the emergency room. The young woman grimaced, leaned back hard against the seat, and beat on the horn. Are you okay? The pained look on her face told him she wasn't. She wore a loose coat, but appeared to have a large belly. I'll practice my investigative skills. Young woman, large belly, pain at a hospital entrance. You're in labor. But still, he asked, what's wrong?
Contractions.
Peter bit his lip. This was not a good time to be having a baby. How can I help? He heard footsteps and glanced over his shoulder. Leon approached. Her eyes darted between Peter and his partner. Tension seemed to flow from her. She breathed deeply.
Can you help me into the hospital?
Leon shook his head. It's deserted, Peter frowned. We were about to leave. Her mouth dropped.
Deserted?
Tears flowed. Has your water broken? Peter asked. Her teeth gritted. She nodded. How far apart are the contractions? Leon asked.
About 5 minutes.
Peter's thoughts turned to his own pregnant wife. He prayed for Sue's safety and vowed to return to her as soon as possible. Leon, get the squad car. His partner sprinted away. Let me help you out. Before she pulled out the key, Peter glanced at her gas gauge. Inwardly, he sighed. Empty. We'll take you to North Hillcrest Community Hospital. It's farther south and, last I heard, still open.
Still open? She grimaced.
It could be closed, too? I'm sure it's still in operation. Peter spoke with more confidence than he held. Is this your first child? She nodded and slid her feet to the pavement. Hold my arm. He eased her from the car. What's your name?
Leslie.
She stood with a moan. My husband's in the army. They deployed his unit after the DC blast. I don't even know where he is. Tears rolled down her cheeks. Leon pulled up in the squad car as a cold drizzle filled the air. Together, the two men helped Leslie into the back seat. Peter drove away from the empty hospital and raced down several nearly deserted side streets. The stillness amid the chaos made the day all the more foreboding, but soon they reached the gridlocked line of traffic headed to the freeway. Peter tried to console himself with the fact that they were at least pointed south, but now he grew even more certain his childhood nightmare had become real. The three of them were caught in a sea of people that wanted to speed away from Seattle, but at best crawled at an agonizingly slow pace. The metro region had awoken to news that terrorists had a nuclear bomb in Seattle. The exodus that had ebbed and flowed from the urban areas for nearly a week turned into a panicked gridlock. Peter looked at the speedometer and knew he could walk faster. Some people did walk along the edge of the freeway. Others ran. They inched past a car with doors ajar, but no one inside. How many of those fleeing on foot had abandoned their cars and added to the traffic problems of others? A stream of police calls crackled across the radio. Like the roads, every channel seemed filled with urgent messages and few answers. After repeated attempts, Leon reported their position, their passenger, and destination. However, we're currently stuck in gridlock traffic and will be unable to respond to calls. Roger, keep heading south. You might be far enough away if the blast comes. But they weren't heading anywhere. Traffic had halted. Peter glanced at the gas gauge. Less than a quarter of a tank remained. He looked in the rearview mirror at their passenger. Leslie's grimace revealed her pain. The maniacs had proven in Washington, D.C. 10 days ago that they were willing to detonate their weapons and die for their cause. The horror had been repeated in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and other cities. Now he lived the night.